Recorded Books presents A Deadly Walk in Devon by Nicholas George, narrated by Donald Corin. Chapter 1. Sunday, midday, Barnstaple, Devon, England.
"Chase, watch out!"
I leaped back onto the pavement as a red Vauxhall sedan raced past, missing me by inches. A short woman with tightly curled, ginger and gray hair rushed over and gave me a quick, warm hug.
"Haven't changed, have you? Honestly, Chase, why can't you learn how they drive here in England? They even have 'look right' and 'look left' written on the street in front of you."
"Billy," I said, with a rush of relief as I returned the hug, "it's good to see you, old friend." My longtime companion from many walking trips was clad in one of her colorful self-knit sweaters. "How the hell are you?" Flashing me a smile, she said,
"Much better, now that I know you won't need to be scraped up off the street."
She led me across the road to the train station, both of us looking left and right as we pulled our cases behind us. When we reached the other side, I said, "I can't believe I made it here. I was afraid I'd gotten totally lost." She shook her head.
"I can never understand how the venerable Rick Chasen, a man with an uncanny talent for sniffing out deadly criminals, somehow has no sense of direction."
I took another glance at her sweater, a purple and yellow creation with a pattern that looked like moose performing a ballet. It reminded me of when I first met her on a walk in Northumberland. What was it, 6 years before? Our shared love of England and literature made us fast friends. My late partner, Doug, had been fond of Billy, too. He'd accompanied us on a walk in Sussex, and, even though he wasn't the jealous type, was pleased I'd found a friend who wasn't a younger, good-looking man.
"When did you get in?" Billy asked.
I told her about my long journey the day before, the 5-hour flight from San Diego to Atlanta, and the 6-hour flight from Atlanta to London. "I spent the night right here in Barnstaple at a refurbished vicarage. It was quite respectable. I did, however, sense hints of a scandalous past within its walls." She gave a small laugh.
"Well, what else would you expect from a vicarage?"
We entered the station, its imposing stone facade and ornate brickwork a stark contrast to the bland commerciality of the massive Tesco superstore across the road. "You arrived here in England a week ago, didn't you?" I asked as we wheeled our suitcases through the ticket hall on our way to the lunchroom, a utilitarian space with 5 plastic tables. We parked our cases beside one.
"I sure did. I'm sorry you couldn't have joined me in London, Chase. Museums, concerts, theater, a veritable cultural orgy. I'm so worn out that I don't know if I can take another step."
Despite her supposed fatigue, she briskly walked up to the counter and ordered a cucumber and cheese sandwich, while I requested an American coffee, black. I was beginning to feel calmer, though still shaken from my earlier misstep. I simply hadn't been watching where I was going. Panic attacks had been common in the first weeks following Doug's death, more than a year ago, but I thought I'd been doing better lately. What had triggered this one? I always had looked forward to a long walk in the English countryside. Maybe the prospect of putting on a brave face for strangers had pushed me over the edge. We took our seats, and Billy gave me a once-over.
"You look good, Chase. Your beard is fuller and maybe a little grayer. It becomes you. You've lost weight, though."
I've always been a big guy, owing to my hefty build as well as my love for a good meal, but she was correct. Since Doug's death, I dropped several pounds. This trip should revive my appetite. Billy took a bite of her sandwich and made a face.
"If all the food here is like this, that might not happen. But other than not eating, what else is new with you?"
"Same old, same old. I sit around and watch ball games on TV."
"You know what I'm asking. The last time we spoke, you sounded so defeated. Even now, you still don't have your old spark back."
Was it that obvious? I took a sip of coffee. I could pretend to be fine, but decided to come clean. "I admit it's taking me longer than I'd thought to get over Doug. Yes, I know there's no set timetable."
Sample complete. Ready to continue?